Mom, and that's the first time I stopped hugging first. I like that.
Tom, are you going to be good to your mother and take care of her?
Bye, Mrs. Greenway.
Goodbye. The phone bill is going to be enormous, you know that.
I'll miss you, Mom.
Can we go now?
Yeah. Pull away slow.
That was I'll Miss You Mama from the soundtrack Terms of Endearment, with a short audio clip between the characters Emma, played by Deborah Winger, and Aurora, played by Shirley MacLaine, and Flap Horton, played by Jeff Daniels, in a scene from Terms of Endearment, where Emma's moving out of state away from her mother for the first time. And I think it comes across in the audio clip and the music, but the scene is a very moving one. I think anyone who's moved away from home, or maybe... because I moved away from home, it was very touching. You know, obviously, when you leave home and leave your mother's.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 Acra, Hudson, Catskill, and this month's edition of The Score. I am Margot Pelletier.
And I'm Lisa Thomas.
And we are the hosts of the show. Today, as you can already tell, you're going to be listening to the soundtrack and the score from the film Terms of Endearment. The soundtrack was composed by Academy Award-winning and upstate resident Michael Gore, who will be our first live guest. We're very excited about it. We will be speaking with him on the phone just a little later. We chose this soundtrack from this film because of its beautiful compositions by Michael Gore, but also because of the very strong and strained relationship between a mother and a daughter. We're dedicating our program today to all the mothers out there. I want to do a special shout out to my mother, thank her for everything she's done for me and continues to do for me. And I want to do a shout out to my mother-in-law and thank her especially for bringing my amazing partner into the world. Now we're going to be listening to the main title of the film, which was composed by Michael Gore and is the opening scene in the film.
Right. If you haven't seen the opening of Terms of Endearment, it sort of starts in a flashback where Aurora, who's the character played by Shirley MacLaine, is like kind of climbing into the crib. She's so concerned about her newborn child. So this is the music that was playing in that scene and a little audio from the top of the film. Enjoy.
Let me go just for a minute.
Honey, you've been looking at that baby so much, you're going to stare her right into a coma.
Rudyard. Rudyard, she's not breathing.
Honey, she's sleeping. The baby's sleeping.
No. Rudyard, it's crib death.
It's sleep. She's asleep, honey.
Maybe.
Come on.
Emma. Oh, good. That's better.
For those of you who have not seen Terms of Endearment, the film follows the lives of Aurora Greenway, played by Shirley MacLaine, and Emma Greenway Horton, played by Deborah Winger, a mother-daughter searching for love. As you heard in the audio at the top of the main title song, the film begins with Emma's early childhood. Aurora reveals how difficult and caring she can be by nearly climbing into Emma's crib in order to make sure her daughter is breathing, only to be reassured once Emma starts crying. The film follows both women across several years as each of them find their reasons for going on living and finding joy. And now we're going to play Anything Goes, which was in a scene where Emma is, it's like the night before she's going to get married to her husband, Flap Horton. And so she's kind of hanging out in the bedroom with her best friend and you know, basically having a little party, one last party with her best friend before she gets married. So enjoy.
From here in, Reno Sweeney is a lady. Listen, honey, nothing's impossible.
In this day and age, anything goes. The times have changed, and we've often rewound the clock since the Puritans got a shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock.
If today
any rock they should try to stem instead of landing on Plymouth Rock,
fox
will land on him.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
I feel really kind of foolish getting stoned to hear Mary Martin.
See, Patsy. Oh, this is Mary. This is not Mary Martin. This is Ethel Merman.
The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black, white today, and day's night today, and those guys today that women prize today are just silly gigolos. So even out in high society, who can forget propriety? Goodness knows. Anything,
you just listened to Anything Goes, music by Cole Porter and performed by Ethel Merman, with additional vocals by Deborah Winger, the actress who plays the daughter in Terms of Endearment. That was followed by the song Flap and Emma, composed by Michael Gore. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WGXC 90.7 and this month's edition of The Score, where we are featuring the music from the film Terms of Endearment. Our show today is dedicated to mothers. One of the main conflicts within the film Terms of Endearment is Aura's, played by Shirley MacLaine, the mother, her constant disapproval of her daughter's, Emma, choices. And like many mothers, she has a very difficult time divorcing herself from her daughter's behavior. She sees her daughter as a reflection of herself. She's very hard on herself. She is a little bit of an emotional cripple and unable to really express her deep love for her daughter. The main conflict is her daughter decides to marry Flap Horton, a man she deeply disapproves of. I think it's actually revealed in the film. He's a very smart man. He's a little bit of a womanizer and an absent father. But I think it's more that the mother is so tightly bound to the daughter that any man she wouldn't be able to give her daughter up to. Despite this fact that there's this constant conflict and strain between the mother and daughter, almost a suffocatingly close relationship is revealed between the two.
Yeah, and there's just amazing music in the soundtrack by composed by Michael Gore, who we'll be talking to in a little bit on the program. He's a Academy Award winning film and television composer, and it lives right here in the Hudson Valley, so stay tuned. We're going to be talking to him in about 15, 20 minutes. But there's some other music in the film as well, which often plays in scenes in the background when, like, Emma's, like, in her bedroom, or then when she moves out and she marries Flap Horton. And so we're going to play a track right now called G. Officer Krumke from the West Side Story cast that Emma had in one of her scenes with Flap. So enjoy.
Sergeant Krupke. You gotta understand, it's just our bringing up D that gets us out of hand. Our mother's all our junkies, our father's all our drunks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punks.
Gee, Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the love that every child ought to get. We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood. Deep down inside us, there is good.
There is good,
there is good, there is good. There is untapped good, like inside the worst of us is good.
In the opinion of this court, this child is depraved on account of he ain't had a normal home.
Hey, I'm depraved on account I'm deprived.
So take him to a head shrinker.
Come on, let's go.
My father is a bastard. My ma's an SOB. My grandpa's always plastered. My grandma pushes tea. My sister wears a mustache. My brother wears a dress. Goodness gracious, that's why I'm a mess.
Yes, Officer Krupke, you're really a slob. This boy don't need a doctor, just a good honest job. Society's played him a terrible trick, and sociologically he's sick.
I am sick,
we are sick, we are sick, we are sick, sick, sick. Like we're sociologically sick.
In my opinion, this child does not need to have his head shrunk at all. Juvenile delinquency is purely a social disease.
Hey, I got a social disease.
So take him to a social worker.
Social worker, yes.
Dear kindly social worker, they say go earn some dough, like be a soda jerker, which means like be a schmo. It's not I'm anti-social, I'm only anti-work. Glory Oski, that's why I'm a jerk.
Hey, Officer Krupke, you've done it again. This boy don't need a job, he needs a year in the pen. It ain't just a question of misunderstood. Deep down inside him, he's no good.
I'm no good.
We're no good, we're no good, we're no earthly good. Like the best of us is no damn good.
The trouble is he's lazy.
The trouble is he drinks.
The trouble is he's crazy.
The trouble is he stinks.
The trouble is he's growing.
The trouble is he's grown.
Krupke, we got troubles of our own. Gee, Officer Krupke, we're down on our knees. Cause no one wants a fellow with a social disease. Gee, Officer Krupke, what are we to do? Gee, Officer Krupke, Krupke you!
That song's
this
great.
Is strangest music to make love to.
That was G. Officer Krupke, performed by the West Side Story cast, lyrics by Stephen Sondheim and music by Leonard Bernstein, with a bit of audio at the end there by Jeff Daniels, which I accidentally spoke a tiny bit over. We're now going to listen to Emma's theme and Aurora's night music, both composed by Michael Gore.
What's wrong with you? I got some good news.
What's that?
I'm unofficially pregnant. I mean, we haven't gotten the test back yet, but you know me, I'm never late.
Well, now I don't understand.
If you're not happy for me, I'm gonna get so mad if you're not happy.
Why should I? Why should I be happy about being a grandmother?
Thank you.
was Aurora's Night Music, composed by Michael Gore. And it's just an amazing scene. She's having a dinner party. She has several men who are courting her, surrounding her, whom she has no interest in at all. And her daughter reveals to her that she's pregnant, and she's already going through sort of a late midnight midlife crisis, very worried about aging. And she happens to be living next door to a very flashy ex-astronaut whom she has this tremendous physical attraction to and this desire to get close to that she's completely repressing.
Right, the character's Garrett Breedlove, played by Jack Nicholson.
And she runs out of the dinner party. She just leaves her dinner party with her hands in the air. She's so upset that now she's going to be called a grandmother, which just reinforces all this insecurity she has about aging. And she finds herself in her front yard, almost magically drawn to walking next door to the astronaut's yard. And only in the way that old Hollywood used to choreograph each and every step, and Shirley MacLaine is so good at this and was such a great dancer, she does this marvelous kind of tentative stepping up to his door to actually finally approach him.
Yeah, Michael Gore did such a beautiful job with the music right there in that scene. So, you know, it's amazing if you watch the film, like really pay attention to that scene right there and the way he composed the music.
So today we're actually featuring the music of Michael Gore, who is the composer for the score Terms of Endearment. He was born on March 5th in 1951 in New York City. He is an Academy Award-winning composer and lives right here in our own Hudson Valley. Michael was nominated in 1983 at the Academy Awards for the music that he composed for Terms of Endearment, but lost to Bill Conti for the score of the film The Right Stuff. He, along with the lyricist Dean Pitchford, did, however, win the Oscar a few years before that in 1980 for the Best Original Song for Fame, which is the song in the film Fame. He also won the award that year for Best Original Score for the film Fame. Michael Gore is the younger brother of the singer-songwriter Leslie Gore. You may remember her song,
right? It's
my party and I'll
cry if I want to.
That's cry right. Cry if I want to.
Yeah, I don't know what Leslie's doing now, but it's like their amazing musical family, so he's her younger brother. So anyway, we're going to be, this is WGXC. We're going to be talking to Michael Gore in about 10 minutes. Right now, we're going to bring you another song. So the song that's coming up is called The Pleasure Dome. And in it, at the top of a lot of the songs that are, scored in the film and on the soundtrack are audio pieces from the film, which is great. We always love to hear those. And there's this moment, where Garrett, who's the astronaut that lives next door to Aurora, the, you know, mother in the film, really kind of, they have this like little interchange. So it's great, the dialogue between the two of them. But at the beginning of the film, Aurora, we find out sort of in the opening credits, the movie had recently been widowed. So as the opening titles are coming up, we see that there's a funeral and her husband has passed away. And throughout the film, she's sort of cultivating the attention of several gentlemen, one who's played by Danny DeVito. But like Margot said, ultimately she's attracted to her neighbor, this retired astronaut, Garrett Breedlove, played by Jack Nicholson. The two develop a tenuous relationship, but ultimately fall in love. Both Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson won Oscars for their work in Terms of Endearment. Shirley MacLaine in the category of Best Actress, and Jack Nicholson in the category of Best Supporting Actor. And if you have time to go on YouTube, I just love Shirley MacLaine's acceptance speech for Terms of Endearment. So it's a really heartfelt, beautiful speech and straight to the point. So if you get a chance, check her out there. But we're going to play The Pleasure Dome, composed by Michael Gore from the soundtrack Terms of Endearment.
Would you like to come in?
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Garrett! is it that makes you so insistent on shocking and insulting me? Why do you do it?
I'll tell you, Rory. I don't know what it is about you, but you do bring out the devil in me.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre, Hudson Catskill, and this month's addition to the score. If you are a filmmaker or a composer and you would like us to consider a soundtrack or a score from a film that you've worked on, please contact us. I'm Margot Pelletier.
And I'm Lisa Thomas.
And you can contact us on the email thescore44@yahoo.com.
In the film, there's a lot of phone conversation scenes, and this one is a scene between Emma and Aurora, the mother-daughter characters, called Three Scenes from a Marriage. So we're going to play that, and then we will be coming back and speaking with Michael Gore after that.
Hi, how'd it go? I don't really think he wants to have anything more to do with me.
Oh, why?
I don't want to go into it.
Is it because you wouldn't go to bed with him?
On a first date, Emma?
Oh, it's hardly a first date, Mother. I mean, you've been living 10 feet away from him for 15 years. I wanted to talk about the real reason.
I don't know what you mean.
Because it's been about that long since you've done it.
Shut up! I mean it! Shut up!
Oh, come on. It's just me.
No!
Call him!
No, I'm hanging up.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm hanging up.
Call him now! So long.
Thank you. like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator. Thank you. If you'd like to make a call...
Just sitting here, realizing that I had never shown you my Renoir.
What are you talking about?
I'm inviting you to come over and look at my Renoir.
You're inviting me to bed?
Yes, it happens to be in my bedroom.
Is the Renoir under the covers?
Don't cackle, Garrett.
Thank you.
We just listened to the theme from Terms of Endearment, composed by Michael Gore, and then This Is My Moment, also by Michael Gore, and with some audio from Garrett and Aurora's love theme. Garrett, obviously, played by Jack Nicholson, and Aurora, played by Shirley MacLaine. So we're going to be listening to another song right now called Rockabye Your Baby, written by Sam Lewis and performed by Judy Garland. So enjoy.
Rockabye your baby with a Dixie melody. When you croon a tune from the heart of Dixie, just hang my cradle, mammy mine, right on that Mason-Dixon line, and swing it from Virginia to Tennessee with all the love that's in you. Weep no more, my lady. Sing on, Black Joe.
Hello there.
Just as you had me on your knee, a million baby kisses I'll deliver. If you were only play that Swanee River, run a by. You have me on your knee.
Hi there, Michael. Do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do.
All right. That's great. I know we had a couple calls out to you there, and we lost you, but it's finally great to get you here on the radio. So,
nice to be with both of you.
Yeah, our first question actually for you was how you came to be involved in composing the music for Terms of Endearment. I know you and James L. Brooks worked together a few times. So.
Exactly. Actually, before I answer that, I would just like to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. My mom is in Palm Beach with my sister, Leslie, celebrating down there today, and I'm sending a big hug and kiss to both of them.
Great.
I came to be involved with this movie because I was introduced to Jim Brooks by a mutual friend very early on in the process. We sat down one afternoon and had a long discussion about the script that he had written. And it was many, many months before he actually got a go-ahead to make the movie. I told him how much I loved the script, and we had a wonderful conversation. And then about 9 months passed, and I hadn't heard anything. And one day I was in New York, and I picked up the phone, and I called him just to see if anything had happened. And he answered the call, and he said, you won't believe this. I literally got a green light on the movie 10 minutes ago.
Wow. That's amazing.
And he said, I think this is kismet that out of the blue, 9 months later, you're calling me about this, and we just got to go ahead. And that's basically how I ended up getting the movie.
Wow. Well, you told me earlier in the week when we spoke on the phone that Terms of Endearment is one of your favorite scores that you've ever created. Can you talk about why you think that is and sort of your process in creating the music for the film?
It is. I mean, number one, it was a fantastic team of people. Jim Brooks is, he's an incredible writer and an incredible director. It was beautifully cast. I think from my point of view, there are very few scores that end up being so recognizable whereby when you hear the music, people actually can almost see the scenes in their head. There are a lot of fantastic scores out there, but there was something for me, not unlike my pop songwriting, where, you know, when you sometimes hear a great pop tune, you remember exactly where you were the first time you heard it, and you can relive being at the beach that day or whatever.
Sure.
I think there's something about this music that people just really connect, and that, you know, it's held up over a long period of time. So for me, because it's touched so many people and it gets played so much, for me, it's one of my favorite pieces.
Great.
Wow. Well, I wanted to read a quote from David Ensign from 1983 after the film had come out, a writer for Newsweek, and he says, "Scene by wonderful scene, Terms of Endearment may be the most emotionally satisfying Hollywood movie this year." Then he goes on to say, "You're held in the spell of a handful of characters so richly imagined, so wonderfully acted, that you would be happy to spend several more hours in their company." What we wanted to know was, what was it like to compose music for a film, first with such an amazing cast, but also that pushed one in so many emotional directions?
Right. Well, the first thing is, the interesting thing is that I was hired just after Shirley MacLaine was hired because of that telephone conversation with James L. Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
I was hired at a very early stage, which is highly unusual for film composers. Usually the film is completed and they are brought on at the very end. Jim knew that music would be a part of this, a very important part of this. And as a result, he ended up hiring me early. And for instance, Jim Brooks insisted on flying me to Houston to actually be on the set and walk through the house that Aurora lived in.
And that's very unusual, right?
It's incredible. It never happens. I think I was hired before Jack Nicholson came in. I think maybe just at about the time that Deborah came in. But to be able to go down to the set, I spent 5 days with the actors. I walked through the house. I talked with them. I was very involved. All the other pieces of source music that you heard, meaning the strangest music to make love to, these were all choices that I ended up making because I felt very connected to the characters,
mm-hmm.
and I just didn't want pieces of other music thrown in. So
So I ended up calling Leonard Bernstein at that time to see whether I could get the rights to Officer Krupke to use as the Strangest music to make love to.
Right.
We found that Ethel Merman recording when the girls were getting stoned the night before her wedding, which I thought was a fantastic recording, and worked with Deborah singing along. So I was very, very involved, with the spirit of the movie at a very early stage.
Right, yeah, that was actually my next question to you. Do you have any other sort of tidbits or stories, kind of behind-the-scenes stories about composing? Because it sounds like you worked so early on, you weren't really composing to finish scenes, so you were composing as the film was going into production, right?
That's correct. What I basically did was, while Jim, after I visited the set, I ended up sending Jim pieces of music that I would send on tape, and he sort of held on to them and listened to them before he went and he did a scene. The bulk of the music was actually composed after the film was put together. But the interesting thing is that the first cut of the movie that I saw that he sent me, I believe, was 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
It was longer than Gone with the Wind. And I remember getting, at that time, videotape as opposed to DVD, and, starting it, and I looked at the timing on it, and I went, oh my gosh, it's 3 hours and 40 minutes. And I remembered getting to the end of it going, it's brilliant if you can find the two-hour movie in all of this. And, of course, he was able to do that.
Right, so there were many cut scenes then, I guess.
Many, many cuts. And one of the great things about Jim is that he was very creative as a director, and at times he would cut something that he loved, and he would walk into the editing room the next day and just throw all the pieces up in the air and just try recutting it again, just for the hell of it, to see if something better could come out. And that's a very unusual kind of creative person to work with.
Sure, yeah, and it's also unusual to have, like a 4 hour, 3.5 hour, film that you're composing for, because usually aren't composers working almost to the lock time of the film or the project?
They are indeed, and Jim just needed his time. I mean, he shot a great deal more than he used, and I think he wanted to see everything, so he put together scenes of just about everything. But he was very, very good, and the editor on the film was Richard Marks, who's a fantastic editor, and the two of them together were able to go through the 3 hours and 40 minutes and actually, cut it down to what then became a two-hour movie.
Great.
Well, it is just an amazing movie that really lasts through time. I wanted to ask you a couple questions that are a little bit off the track. One is, when you're composing your popular music, do you ever work with your sister?
Oh, absolutely. Leslie and I, have worked together many, many times. I did a film for Molly Shannon called Superstar, and Leslie ended up writing the lyric to that title song. Of course, she wrote the lyric to Out Here on My Own from Fame, which we were also nominated for an Academy Award. And, yes, she's out performing, and she's working, and she's writing up a storm, and she's great. We do love collaborating together, and it's fun, writing songs with her.
Oh, that's terrific. And what are you working on right now?
I'm working on a few different things. I'm working on a show that we're hoping to open off-Broadway next winter, and we're going through workshops in New York. We start our next workshop on that next week, and that's been a fantastic collaboration, and working with, live actors and live singers and dancers has really been invigorating. So that's been fantastic. I'm also working on a solo album, a piano album, which is that I am starting to re-record many of my favorite film themes that I composed, and including other additional material. So I'm looking, hopefully before, in the next 6 months, to finish up my solo album.
Well, maybe we'll have to have you back.
I'm a producer with several film projects that we're producing.
Yeah, do you have a title on that album, the solo project?
Haven't decided what the title is going to be. Maybe you gals can help me figure it out.
All right. We'll give you some suggestions. Well, hey, thank you so much for your generous time today and calling into the station, and have a great Sunday afternoon.
My pleasure, and thank you both for playing film music. It's such an important part of of the musical culture and does not get played enough, so I really thank you not only for playing my music, but for playing all film composers' scores. It's a great thing.
You're so welcome, and thank you for being our first live guest. It's such
take
a pleasure.
Care.
All right,
bye
take now. Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we were just talking to Michael Gore there, the composer of The Terms of Endearment. So you're listening to WGXC in this month's edition of The Score. And so we're going to play one final song here, and it's the song from the end credits of Terms of Endearment. So enjoy.
Okay, so you've been listening to The Score, WGXC 90.7. Excuse me, we were so privileged today to be speaking to Michael Gore, the composer for The Score of Terms of Endearment. This is our Mother's Day show. The actual film Terms of Endearment is a film all about love, about a very contentious and deep love between a mother and daughter, but also sort of an unrequited love between a woman and a man who's unable to make a commitment, and another love when they finish their very feisty, fun, wonderful affair, they have a very enduring, meaningful friendship. And that's really wonderful.
And the film had a sequel, The Evening Star, which I believe Michael Gore also did a lot of the music for. So, you know, if you love Terms of Endearment, you can always see Evening Star, too. So I want to do like a special dedication to Doris Townsend as well.
And so thank you again for listening to The Score.
We want to thank all the mothers out there. You've been listening to The Score. Be good to yourself. Be better to your neighbor. And before you do anything, be sure you know The Score.